The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit, track budgets, and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Moro Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We welcome in all of our radio affiliates to Pharrell on the Bench, Coast to Coast, Top to East to West, we're everywhere. Sports Grid Radio, Mightier 1090 in San Diego and all of Southern California. Don't forget, starting January 7th, we'll be on Sirius XM Channel 204. The Sports Grid Radio Network will be on Sirius XM Channel 204. Very excited for that. I told the story last night, Ma. It was the first time I went on the air since Thanksgiving week, and I went on a tangent about, you know, people complaining about me taking off a lot lately, right? And I said that I do the same thing every year. I take off in the fall and winter, take off, you know, like Halloween and then Thanksgiving and then Christmas and then New Year's. And then I take off usually a week after the Super Bowl, right? Like somewhere in February to go to the Caribbean or whatever. And or go to Cali surfing in San Diego. And I talked about last night for the first time going on Sirius XM because and you're the only one that's worked there, right? So you worked there with me, and you were in diapers when you got that job, coming out of Seton Hall. They got a good basketball team again this year. You were doing like, you know, NASCAR and stuff like that. And then you started working for me on the Howard Stern channels. Now, I don't know. Did you hear the clip that Howard, did you see that clip, Howard talking about me on the show the other day?
No, I heard your girl, Marianne, called in and talked to him about it, but I didn't hear the clip of him saying anything.
Well, it's on the Pharrell on Grid Twitter, the clip of Howard talking about it. So anyway, I didn't get your reaction to it. I mean, I don't know if when I was out for Thanksgiving, if you guys talked about it on Pharrell on the Bench, you and Carver High. But I mean, you worked there. You know how cool it was. We had a blast there, all the things. I mean, you lost your virginity there. That's all there is to it with some of the stuff that went on in our studio. I mean, it was like being in a porno, what happened at that place. I know I'm excited to go back on there because I said last night the truth, like, because we haven't been on the air in New York for like 10 years since we left Howard. They never aired me on CBS. The Vatican Network never aired me on Sirius because they used it for play-by-play. We're finally getting on Sirius XM again, which is exciting for me because I loved it there. I had a blast. And now we're going to be global. We'll be all over the Southern Hemisphere, everywhere from L.A., San Diego to the Caribbean. You can hear Sirius. So I'm stoked about it.
Hey, everyone. It's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys. And I'd love for you to join me. I'm still on my own journey, but I want to be transparent with you because as I was posting all the highlights of my life on social media, I was breaking down. And too many people fall victim to the picture-perfect image of the high life. So I created a space to discuss the good and the bad. We can laugh, man. We gonna learn. And most of all, I hope to inspire you to go on this journey with me to better mental health. This is gonna be your church, your turn up, and everything in between. So join me on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, a safe space for every kind of person. Listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
So Houston has agreed to trade Russell Westbrook to the Washington Wizards for John Wall and a first round pick. So, and the story coming out of Houston tonight is that they want to keep James Harden, and they don't want to be trading Harden, but they traded Westbrook. And I'm going to go back to my original statement was always that Westbrook doesn't want to play with Harden. And they try to sell you all this BS that they're friends and they like playing together. And they, you know, wanted to play together because they had played together when they were younger. I don't believe any of that. I think it was painfully obvious to me that Westbrook doesn't like being second fiddle to anybody. He's got a huge ego. He thinks he's the greatest player in the league, without a doubt. There's not even a question that he thinks he's the best player in the NBA. And I think, without a doubt, he thinks he's better than Harden. I think he wants the ball 100% of the time, and everything goes through him. All offense, all plays, all buckets are because of his hands. And him sharing with that Harden, who is just hero ball city. I mean, no one can argue that James Harden's a great player. There's no one that can argue it. But, I mean, it's the James Harden show in Houston every night, right? There's, I don't even want to hear it, that, you know, Gordon and Tucker matter at all, because they don't. They don't matter at all. Oh, sure, they hit a three here and there, and they contribute, and they get all these guys that contribute a very little, like a sprinkle. You know what they are? They're like sprinkles on ice cream. But the entire organization runs through Harden, through his veins. That's it. And there's no getting around it. And it was painfully obvious to me that Harden couldn't, I don't think he could deal with Westbrook. And I don't think Westbrook wanted any part of being second fiddle to Harden. He'll never admit it. They show these pictures of him, like, you know, happy birthday, Brody, and all this other, you know, BS. That's an act, is what that is. Now, maybe they, you know, are friendly and cordial and, you know, maybe they're bros and maybe they, you know, get along and everything, like, you know, off the court or families or whatever else. Hey, good to see you. Have a good weekend. But I don't believe for 1 minute they like playing together. I really don't. And I mean, it's pretty obvious that everybody knows they couldn't play together anymore because he's gone. They traded Westbrook and they did not trade Harden. And, you know, 3 weeks ago, Harden was going to the Nets, right? He was going to play with Kyrie and KD. And I mean, there's not even a sniff of that happening. And, you know, even tonight, they're reiterating that they want to keep Harden. And they, you know, what they did was they gave him his way. He wins again. Harden wins again. Don't tell me that wasn't about getting rid of Westbrook, because they're not going to have Westbrook and Harden playing together. The only time that worked, if you ask me, was when, if ever, Harden sat and they let Westbrook take over. And I just felt like when they played together, it never worked. You know, it's just, it's one or the other. You can't have both of them because they just are too big a ball hogs. I mean, neither one of them want to give up the rock ever. Now, you have to understand, I truly believe if you're a baller that good, like Harden is, or Westbrook, you know, he averaged a triple-double 2 years in a row, right? When you have the ball that much, if you have that much burn and you have the ball that much in your hands, you're literally the guy with the ball at every stop, every single time you have the ball, it's in your hands, and you play 40 minutes a game, Mafia, you can't tell me that it's hard to, in my opinion, have a double-double or a triple-double when you shoot as much as Harden and you get to the line as much as Harden. And he does play defense. People say he doesn't play defense. That's not true. He has all kinds of steals and rebounds, and he rips and runs. The guy makes plays. He gets high, long rebounds, and he, you know, runs and produces and gets fouled and goes to the line and scores, and constantly putting in an and ones left and right, or getting to the rim and getting a call and shooting two free throws. The guy shoots 25 free throws a game, right? So I don't think it's that hard to have 10 dimes when you have the ball 90% of the time in your hands. I mean, Christ, who can't just find an open guy and get a bucket? Like, people are like, you know, oh, he puts up triple doubles. Like I said, it's in my opinion, it's not that hard to drop a double double if you have the ball and the burn. If you play that much, if you have the ball that much and you're on the floor that much and it's always touching your hands, you're the next guy to make a pass or make a play or make a bucket or a dime. I don't think it's that hard. So I really don't. And Harden does it all the time. And it's not because he's Magic Johnson, because I don't think that guy ever wants to pass the ball to anyone ever. I just think he does it because he's like, everybody knows I'm a ball hog. Everybody knows I'm not going to give up the rock. Everybody knows I shoot it 35 times a game. Everybody knows I go to the line 20 times a game. And I might as well give them something back because I'm such a selfish hero baller and ISO baller. I got to at least pass the ball 10 times. That's what I think he plays like. And the funny thing is that, you know, and I know people aren't going to like this, but I mean, that guy's not even come close to sniffing a championship, right? Like he hasn't even, I mean, he's not even in the same area code as an NBA title, right? When he played with Oak City, they went, he didn't matter. He was young, blah, blah, blah. Then he goes to Houston. He's been there. What has he done there besides nothing? You know what he's done there? He's collapsed in the playoffs. That's what he's done, right? So, you know, in all the years that LeBron was winning titles, and there's always been somebody in his way, right? I mean, that's just all there is to it. Whether it was, you know, the Warriors were in their way, right? Now the Lakers are in their way. The Heat were in their way. You know, all the teams, you know, when Cleveland was in their way, you know, just teams that were winning titles and they weren't winning them. And they never came close. All I hear about is how great D'Antoni was and how great Maury was and how great Harden is. And they win every game that doesn't matter. They win every game that doesn't matter. That's all there is to it. They never win when it matters. And so they finally, what they did was they divorced. They got a divorce. The couple that can't get along. It's simple to me. This is real simple. I don't believe for 1 minute that they like playing together. So they got a divorce and they sent the wife packing. That's it. Get out. You're out. Bye. That's what they did. And now he goes for John Wall. So now Westbrook's going to play with Bradley Beal. It's not going to be any different. And it's a funny thing. My son said to me, it's the worst trade ever. It's like trading a player to the same team. Like it's like trading Westbrook to the Rockets from the Rockets. They're just putting him right back in the same situation. He's going from playing with Harden to going to play it with Bradley Beal. Bradley Beal's a better player than Westbrook now, you know, pretty much all facets of the game. Is anyone going to argue with that Bradley Beal's a better player and a better scorer and a better all-around player than Westbrook? Westbrook's a lot of flash and a lot of fancy clothes and walking into the arena. He's famous on ESPN. But at the end of the day, pure ball, Bradley Beal's better, right? So I think he is, without a doubt. I think Bradley Beal's dangerous. And then John Wall's going to go play with Harden, and you're not going to give John Ball to the Rock because Harden doesn't give the Rock to anybody. I mean, this is a disaster.
Have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking and want to know how to make it your career?
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, we bring our expertise to the table with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
All right, Saturday night, December 5th, this Saturday night in Arlington at AT&T Jerry's World, great fight, welterweight championship of the world. Errol the Truth Spence going at it. The champ taking on Danny Swift Garcia, two-division champ, former lightweight champ. Guy's a freak. He can definitely throw hands, great counter puncher. Going up against, I think, the best welterweight in the world, Spence. It'll be very interesting. Mafia and I went to see Spence fight Mikey Garcia at the same place, Jerry's World. It was an incredible trip. I love going to Dallas and going to that fight. And Spence kicked his ass. And I remember Mikey went up in weight to fight Errol Spence. And I love the fact that he's got the cojones to do it and, you know, taking on that challenge. But you knew he was going to have his hands full against Spence. And Spence just dished on him and beat his ass. Then we all know what happened to Spence. Spence ended up wrecking his Lambo or whatever the hell it was, Ferrari, doing a buck five in Dallas, wrecked the car, broke a bunch of bones in his face, broke his jaw, and has been out of boxing ever since for over a year. Now he's finally getting in the ring, and he's taking on a guy that means business. I mean, Swift Garcia can definitely punch. He's trained by his crazy father, Angel Garcia. They're Philadelphia bred, born, no joke. But, you know, I saw Danny lose to one-time Thurman and a Showtime Sean Porter. So I saw him lose to those two. And then I just know that Spence can beat both of them. And we've already seen it. We've already seen what Errol Spence can do. Undefeated, very dangerous. The interesting thing will be, can he take a punch after breaking his face in so many places in the car wreck? Saturday night, Fox pay-per-view, PBC on Fox. Should be great. Welterweight title. Spence and Garcia this Saturday night. Call your cable operator and order the fight. So, Mafia, Wall goes to Houston. He's going to play with Harden. Let's face facts. I mean, they got Boogie Cousins, too. But a lot of people, as you know, feel that Boogie Cousins is washed. And really, they have P.J. Tucker, Ben McLemore, you know, Harden, Wall, Gordon, Jerry and Grant. The rest of that team is, you know, Kenny Wooten, Kenyon Martin Jr. They just got him in the draft. I don't have any faith in Boogie. I love Boogie's game. I think he's a grown man moves player. I think he was so unbelievable when he was healthy, but he's, you know, just shredded his body. He's had so many injuries, the Achilles, everything else, the knees. I don't have any faith in his game anymore. And I don't see how you can get a guy like Wall, who's, I think Wall, for me, you know, when he's healthy, because he's only played in about 30% of their games the last 2 years in D.C., He's just been so injured. But before that, he had played seven seasons of 90% ball where he never missed ever, and he was unstoppable. The guy's explosive. He can score on anybody inside and out, drive, you name it. I think, you know, he's clearly a better shooter than Harden in my book, or Westbrook. Wall is a better player, better shooter than Westbrook is what I'm saying. Are you surprised they went out and traded for a guy that's basically, in essence, a lot of people feel the exact same player?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, this team is ridiculous with what they're constructing. You know, we were getting on Morey for all the things that he did to try to build this team up and, you know, all the things they sacrificed to get where they are. And leadership isn't much better since he left, apparently, because I just don't get this straight. I don't think it worked. I mean, it might work for the Wizards to a degree because, you know, I think Beal might be okay playing with Westbrook if, you know, they could play together, play comfortable. You know, I don't think he needs to be on the ball, even though he got the taste out the last 2 years. I think he's fine, you know, as long as Westbrook passes it from time to time to him, being the guy that, you know, doesn't get all the attention. Wall wants the ball. Harden wants the ball. Cousins wants the ball. You know, it's like the Island and the Misfits toys here. You know, all these guys that don't play well together, all put together in Houston with a bunch of, you know, hacks otherwise. But, you know, Harden will get his wish because eventually both Boogie and Wall will probably hurt, and then it'll be just him, so there'll be no one else to pass it to because he'll be the only one there.
So let me ask you this question. Harden has been so vociferous about being traded. You know, everyone knows he wants out. He doesn't want to play there anymore. Maybe because Morey's gone, because he loved Morey. Maybe because D'Antoni's gone. Who knows? I don't think personally that Harden gives two shacks about Mike D'Antoni. But I think he liked Morey. There was talk of him. He wanted to go to, you know, the Nets or the Sixers to follow Morey. Neither of those things are coming to fruition. Neither of those things are happening. Do you think there's a chance, because I do, that he's going to be miserable in Houston and a malcontent and a cancer?
Oh, there's not a chance. It's almost a certainty, I feel like. I think that, you know, him not being happy with what they've been in the past couple of years, not getting where they, you know, supposed to be, even when they made the trades to potentially put them over the top, and they still fail. You know, we have problems with CP3, so they give it to CP3. So they bring in Westbrook, his buddy, and then all of a sudden they don't get along. So now they've gotten rid of him. It's like, you know, revolving door at point guard right now, and he's gotten his way, but still hasn't gotten a team that's worth anything. You know, we've talked about how great the Lakers are. You know, after their championship, they got better. They got younger. Are they going to be able to compete with the Lakers? Not a chance. You know, are they going to be able to compete with the Clippers? Not a chance. Nuggets, you know, maybe even, well, not probably not the Warriors now that Klay went down, but there's probably five or six teams that are easily going to be better than them in the West. So it's only going to get worse for him. Utah will be better than them. You know, they're not going to be good. Portland, they just are going to be a terrible team, I think, you know, especially if those guys do not last most of the season. I know it's going to be a shorter season, but, you know, we'll see how that goes for them, probably with the tighter scheduling and things like that once COVID starts canceling games. It's going to be interesting, you know, and also a lot of the reports were that he also didn't like Fertitta and the stances that he has. You know, a lot of the players had issues with his, you know, very conservative stances and supporting of Trump and things like that. So if that guy's still going to be there and, you know, apparently causing friction with his players with his political stances, it's not only going to get uglier. You know, I don't think he's going to change either.
God, I just think he's not going to be happy, that he's not going to, you know, who knows? Maybe he'll just go out and do what he always does, which is chuck it up 40 times a game. And, you know, I think the guy has, you know, look, I won't deny the guy can flat out ball. He can hit from anywhere. He's got great skill. But I just feel like, you know, he's not going to be happy. Is there anything worse than a guy that is your star player and he's not happy, doesn't want to be there, he's miserable? And I just don't think he's going to care what happens. I don't think he's going to care if they win. I don't think he's going to care if they lose. He's going to be kind of a malcontent that he's there still and they didn't get his way. And then he may even have harboring ill will toward the fact that they did let Russ Westbrook get out and go in a deal and go somewhere else. Now, I know that Wall and Boogie played together. Obviously, they're really good friends at Kentucky. And I know they've been really good friends in the NBA, you know, when they see each other and whatever. Now they're going to play together. I don't know how much Boogie has left. Do you think he's got any game left?
I think it possibly have game. I don't know if he could stay healthy. That's the big thing, is that, you know, he's had some big injuries for big men. A guy his size to have, you know, knee and Achilles back to back is going to be something where, you know, we talk about Wall having those kind of injuries and that, you know, how that's going to slow him down. I know Boogie isn't the fastest guy. He's pretty athletic, though, for a big man, especially his size. So we have to see how that affects him. You know, does that affect his movements in the paint? Can he be out on the run? Because it's not like Houston's a very good half-court slowdown team. If they get into the half court, James Harden's going to take it 1-on-5. So what does that leave Cousins? Just to set the screen and get out of the way? I mean, maybe that's his role. Maybe he's just the screen and pop guy now. But I just don't know. We'll have to see, because you can't, like you said, you can't trust a guy that size who's had those injuries happen so close together. You know, it makes you worry that the legs are breaking down overall.
So I guess the other big story in the NBA was LeBron's new deal, a 2-year max deal for $85 million. No player option, I'm hearing, on the end of that deal to whether or not he would play a third season with it, right? So this takes him through 23, I guess. And there's some people clamoring about, will he play with his son, Bronny, who would be, if the rules change, he would be draft eligible that year. I wonder if he'll end up playing with his son. Some people, we were talking today on Coast to Coast, how long will he play? And I was even talking to my son about it. Like, how long do you think LeBron James is going to play? And he got a 2-year deal. My son said, yeah, 3 years. And I said, look, that guy mentally, physically, spiritually, you know, everything about his game and his body and the way he works and the way he trains and the way he eats and just everything. Like, I just don't see him being done in 3 years at all. I really don't. I know some people think that he's not going to play that much longer because whatever, he's 35, blah, blah, blah. But I don't even know exactly how old he is. I know he's somewhere around there. But I think he's got 5 years left in him. That guy still, to me, whether you like it or not, I still think he's the most dominant player. And physically speaking, he's a monster. And no one can stop him. Like, he does whatever he wants on the NBA floor. I mean, there's absolutely no one that can contain him, stop him, try to stop him. He does anything he wants and everything he wants every night. And not only that, he plays massive minutes. And he plays every night. The guy's just good to go. Now, I know people talk about all this load management and everything else in the NBA. I mean, I think the guy's an absolute workhorse. I think he'll finish this deal, and then I think he'll do another deal. So LeBron's deal, $85 million, 2 years, making fat change. And I think he can keep playing. I see no, absolutely zero decline in his game at this point. I don't care what anybody thinks. Not only is he shown no decline, he just won another NBA championship. Now, I know people don't like that he was on a super team in Miami. I'm sure they don't like that he went to win a title in Cleveland. They hadn't won anything in 50 plus years. He got that done, down 3-1, and beat the Warriors. And then he went and he won another one in Los Angeles with the Lakers. Obviously, it certainly helps having Anthony Davis. And you know Davis is going to stay with the Lakers as sure as I'm sitting here. So he's going to play. He's already saying that, you know, they can repeat. And they got younger. They got Harrell. They got Schroeder. I mean, I got to tell you, I love Schroeder's game. And I know Rondo was great for them. I think Rondo will do the exact same thing in Atlanta, which is be injured all the time. You know, I got to be honest with you. That guy showed up for the finals. I'll give you that. I'd say the Western final and the NBA finals, he showed up for it. The rest of it, he was never playing. You know, remember he hurt his thumb, had surgery. He gets hurt all the time. That guy never plays. So I think Atlanta's going to get burned on that deal. And I don't think he's bringing anything to Atlanta. He looked really good because he was playing with LeBron James and Anthony Davis. It's real easy if you're a great point guard to get the rock up in the air for Anthony Davis to throw it down on the lob dunk. How hard can it be to throw that big fella the pill? I mean, honest to God. So let's see Rondo do that in Atlanta with nothing. I mean, honestly, what do they have? I don't doubt Trey. I think Collins is a solid player. Got suspended for a long time. You got to keep your eyes on him. Don't they have Capella, Mafia? I think that's where he went eventually, was to Atlanta. I like his game. I don't think the Rockets should have ever given up on him, to be honest with you. And then the other story about the NBA, which I found interesting, was that the Pistons signed LiAngelo Ball, which is the third Ball brother. So Lonzo, LaMelo, and now LiAngelo is in. He got a non-guaranteed one-year deal with the Pistons. That doesn't, equate to him making the team or, you know, anything. Non-guaranteed doesn't mean he's going to do anything in terms of will he stick. We don't know. But I think what was interesting for me was, did you notice, I guess they knew he would never get drafted, right? Because no one ever talked about him, Mafia. When the draft was going on and the mock drafts were going on and the buildup to the NBA draft on the 18th was going on, never once did I ever hear LiAngelo Ball's name. Did you? Not once, ever. They never even brought him up. Like, he didn't even exist. And now all of a sudden he gets a deal. And he's playing for the Pistons. And his dad's like, you know, we're just getting started. This is great. All three Balls are in the NBA. And that's something to be proud of. There's no doubt about it. It's very impressive. So, you know, you got to be, tip the hat to the family and the guy. You know, you can hate him all you want, but he raised his kids to play ball. And that's all they did was play ball and stay out of trouble. And they all three made it to the NBA.
Yeah, I mean, he was the middle one. He's 22 years old, so he wasn't even really around for this draft. He would have been drafted a couple of years ago, but of course had his troubles at UCLA and things like that, and then went over to, I think, Australia with his brother. So, I mean, he was always the one they kind of, you know, forgot about. They're like, yeah, whatever, he's not that good. So we'll see. I mean, this is pretty much a tryout contract to see if he makes it, and we'll see what happens with that if they all stick. But we know his older brother and his younger brother are supposed to be all, you know, Lonzo showed that he's a great player in the NBA. And, you know, he's getting better. We'll see if he becomes a, you know, really, really awesome player. And his younger brother just got drafted high and supposed to be even better. So we'll see how those two work out and if it could be all three Ball brothers. But, you know, I'm not having much faith in it. I'm just saying, okay, yeah, you got a nice trial. Let's see what you do with it.
Yeah, I don't like, I know he's old or whatever. I'm saying no one ever mentioned him ever about ever. Like, no one mentioned that guy's name ever during anything going into this draft. About like, hey, does your other brother, is he going to make it in the NBA or whatever happened to LiAngelo? Where is he? You know, as Lonzo and LaMelo have all the success and get drafted number two and number three in the NBA, you never hear a peep about the brother. And now the brother gets signed. That's what's amazing to me is that no one ever talked about him ever when you know. LaMelo was the talk of the draft. He was the talk of the pre-draft. All you heard about was LaMelo Ball, LaMelo Ball, LaMelo Ball. They rarely even mentioned Lonzo Ball. But I have never heard that guy, LiAngelo Ball's name mentioned. I thought that he got thrown out of the family. That's how long it's been since I've heard his name.
Yeah, he was a forgotten one. You know, he was even when he was at UCLA, like he wasn't highly recruited. He wasn't like a star on that team. He was like a bench player on that team, you know, before he got kicked off. So we'll see what happens. This has been the whole thing has always been the big baller brand. All three of them are going to be stars, right? But he hasn't nearly come close to what those other two were. And we'll see if he can live up and make Dad proud. Otherwise, he's going to be the black sheep again.
So did you see the story about the NBA and their of the 546 players tested during the last week of November, 48 had positive tests? I know that's a lot of people tested, 500 plus people, but does that not surprise you at all that that number of players tested positive? I mean, that's a lot of players.
Right. I mean, that's basically, I mean, I'm not doing the math completely, but it's what, probably somewhere between 7 and 10%. And that's a lot higher than the general population. But doesn't surprise me that it happened. I mean, you're getting these guys coming from home, doing whatever they were doing the last, you know, 2, 3, 5, 6 months, depending on what team they were on. And now they're coming back. You know, as this surge is happening, you're not only having them back from whatever they were doing where they weren't being watched, but you're also having them travel in a time when this, everything is surging. It's not surprising to me that you got these high tests, but now it's what they do with it. You know, now they got to lock these guys down, and now they're playing these games. How does this go during the rest of the season? You know, do you still have this kind of testing, you know, percentage going throughout the season, and it starts to cancel games and ruin the season? Or now these guys are back into the mix, and now they're, you know, getting ready for the season and camp and preseason. Are they going to lock it down and say, like, all right, nobody go anywhere, otherwise, you know, we're going to fine you, suspend you, or whatever, and you the numbers drop down? Because if they don't, that's going to be a big trouble for that season.
Well, they're going to have big trouble anyway, don't you think, that they're going to, you know, deal with – they're not playing in a bubble in Orlando right. anymore. They're going to actually start the preseason here in a couple weeks, whatever, like on the 11th or whatever it is, and then they're going to play the regular season on the 22nd. Christmas Day, they got 5 games. It's all happening, and they're traveling from city to city to these arenas. I'm sure there's not going to be fans in the arenas, but don't you think that a dangerous way to make a living is now going to be playing? I mean, you can't even tell me, like, every day in college football, there's COVID cancellations. Now in college basketball, every day I do the picks for you for PharrellOnTheBench.com, there's 15 games canceled. Don't tell me they're not going to have the same problem in the NBA.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be huge. I mean, obviously, there's not as many teams as there are in college basketball, not as many players, things like that. But you're gonna have, you see it, you know, as a kind of example on a bigger scale of what's going to happen with all these cancellations and the way these players and coaches are testing positive. I know, as you know, a Seton Hall fan, they played their third game today. We've been playing for like 2 or 3 weeks because they're supposed to play this Baylor team that we're watching right now. And Baylor had Scott Drew test positive, the coach, and had to cancel it. So they went and scheduled a game against St. Joe's, and then less than 24 hours, you know, before that game was supposed to happen, they got canceled that. So they threw together another game with Iona. It's just all these teams are doing these things that, you know, if they're outside the bubble, we had the Bubbleville and the Mohegan and some of these other areas where they're doing these tournaments. But outside of that, when you got these teams just on their campuses where it's running rampant, and when these players are, you know, in the dorms, it's not going well. It's a lot of cancellations, a lot of last-minute games getting thrown together, and sometimes you're getting some sloppy product because, you know, guys aren't getting to practice, or, you know, teams you're not really getting ready for them. You're just like saying, okay, we'll play tomorrow at 5. See you then. You know, no preparation. So, that's what it's going to be in the NBA.
So they actually, Davidson beat UNLV by 4 tonight in that, like, super consolation game in the Maui, like the 7th-place game. Like, who even cares? But the big game tonight was Baylor and Illinois, and Baylor's kicking their ass. I'm surprised. I thought the game would be a lot better than it is. It's a 12-point game right now with 4.5 minutes to go, and Baylor's up on Illinois, and they're basically dominating the second half. And it was a close game for most of the game. And then all of a sudden here, with about 10 minutes in, Baylor's taking control of this game, and they're up 12 as we speak. There's been tons of games tonight I can tell you about in terms
Boy,
of
Colburn shut down in this game. Only 4 points and 4 fouls.
The big guy that I was talking about?
Big guy in Illinois is having a rough game against Baylor tonight.
Well, yeah, like so going into the game, everybody was ranting and raving, and I told you about him and that he's this badass, big monster, physical presence, huge talent in the middle for Illinois. He's been dominating and you know, getting a lot of, you know, eyes on him and talk about him. And then tonight he lays an egg in a big game against a really good team. So against the number 2 team in the country, he did nothing. He just had a huge dunk in a game, though. But it doesn't matter. They're down 10 with 3:50 left. He just had a power jam in the middle, but they're down 10. As far as everything else, Washington State with under 4 to go, up 54-49 on Oregon State. Texas, a buzzer beater to beat North Carolina, 69-67. I like Texas in that game. Missouri upset Oregon, 83-75, so an easy win for them. Florida State blew out North Florida by like 28. Clemson rocked South Carolina State, 75-38. Georgia, 22-point win over North Georgia. Indiana finished third in the Maui. They beat Stanford, 79-63. Florida by 7 over Army, so they could barely beat Army. Is that the deal? Ohio State, 77-44 over Moorhead. Penn State, a buzzer-beating 3 to beat VCU. I hit that game both ways. Penn State to win, VCU plus 4.5. They lose by 3. Also, I hit BYU over St. John's, 74-68. BYU gets it done. Duquesne, a winner over Greensboro, 81-68. Big win for the Dukes. Gonzaga, I told you, by 5 over West Virginia. Michigan, easy over Ball State, 84-65. Also, how about South Dakota State upset Iowa State tonight, 71-68. A&M, a winner tonight. They played Tarleton. Tough scheduling there for A&M. Tarleton, it sounds like a cigarette. Can I have a pack of Tarletons, please? And a bag of chips? Let's see. Xavier over Tennessee Tech, big, 79-48. I thought the best game of the night would be Rhode Island, Seton Hall, but Rhode Island beat their ass, 76-63. Mafia's not happy. Alabama, 88-71 over Providence. I hit that game for you today on Coast to Coast. Murray State lost to Middle Tennessee, got blown out by him. I'm surprised about that. SMU blew out Houston Baptist. Memphis blew out Arkansas State. Louisiana by 3 over New Orleans. Northwestern rocked Arkansas Pine Bluff. San Fran by 25 over Nevada. They blew them out. I can't even believe that. Arkansas beat Arlington by 12. San Diego State, a big winner tonight over St. Catherine. Is that a school or is that a church? I don't even know what that is. And I told you, Davidson, a winner by 4 over UNLV. Pretty good game in that one. A lot better than the Baylor-Illinois game that I told you about. So, la-di-da. You know what I like, though, is that, you know, baseball ended, hockey, all that. Now we got college basketball, and the NBA's right around the corner. All right, so the goal is to cram this down your throat as much as possible. That's what Mafia just told me. Whatever you do, cram it down their throats. All right, anyway, I'm excited about Saturday night, December 5th. This Saturday night on Fox Pay-Per-View, PBC has the Welterweight Championship of the World. I am stoked about it. It's Errol the Truth Spence against Danny Swift Garcia, Philadelphia's finest, or should I say Philadelphia. The WBC and IBF Welterweight Champ Errol the Truth Spence takes on two division champ Danny Garcia in the main event. It's going to be unbelievable. Many believe Spence is the best pound-for-pound fighter in the world. I think Crawford is, but I think Spence is right there. It's at AT&T Stadium in Dallas, Jerry's World, the site of the Spence-Mikey Garcia fight that we went to. Pay-per-view begins at 9 Eastern, 6 Pacific, with three exciting matchups featuring all Mexican and Mexican-American fighters. You got Mafia's favorite, Sebastian, the towering Inferno, Fundora, your boy Fun Man, Fundora, taking on Jorge Cota. In a WBC fight, all action contenders, Joseph Cito, the Riverside, Rocky Lopez, and Francisco Chia Santana meet in a 10-round fight. And you got Julio Ceja facing Eduardo Ramirez in a WBC featherweight title eliminator. All of it happening in Dallas Saturday night on Fox Pay-Per-View. Call your cable operator and order the fight. It's going to be kick-ass. Believe me, you, Spence and Garcia will throw down. They mean business. All right, Mafia. Very exciting. 76-65 Baylor, under 2 minutes to go, and rolling in that great matchup against number 2 and number 5 tonight. Baylor holding on, 76-65. The Illini at the line, but they got their hands full tonight. Baylor means business. They're really good. We've seen a lot of great college basketball this week. Hopefully that continues. I'm glad the NBA's back. Steelers winners today, Bud Dupree, the ACL tear. That's not good. You got a new LeBron deal, and Westbrook traded to the Wizards. Good night.
Build digital-first customer relationships with Salesforce Digital 360. Connect every marketing, commerce, and digital experience on a single platform. Innovate fast with easy-to-launch sites, campaigns, and apps. That's more relationships, more revenue, more return, and more success. Salesforce Digital 360. Hear from our customers at sfdc.co/digital360.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino?
Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto.
I like my slots hot.
Moto's free to play, like food stamps.
In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic.
Keep your eyes on the road.
Hop on Moto Casino.
Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly.
Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Fall is all about cozy comforts, but when you're prioritizing your health, it's easy to feel like you're missing out. With Hero Bread, you can enjoy all your fall favorites because they're made with Hero Bread sliced bread loaves, tortillas, bagels, dinner rolls, and more. Try their all-new Hero Noodles with 12 grams of protein and just 80 calories. So skip replacing every carb with cauliflower and indulge in your breakfast, lunch, and dinnertime favorites while still hitting your goals. From breakfast bagels and meal-prepped enchiladas to mouth-watering burgers and cheesy noodles, you won't believe Hero Bread's options have 0 to 5 grams net carbs and are high fiber from the taste and texture. They've even got small batch drops of indulgent favorites like the popular Hero Croissant. And right now, Hero Bread is offering 10% off your order. Go to hero.co and use code FALL25 at checkout. That's FALL25 at HERO.CO. All figures are per serving of Hero Bread. Contains 2 to 18 grams of fat per serving. See the product nutrition panels on Hero.co for more information.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.